let's bring it back together here.
Seahawks lost 17-24.
Yeah. It's kind of spread out.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah? Yeah, final. No. 17-24.
So.
I'm doing it.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. The next agenda item is item H. This is a just.
I'll wait then.
Okay.
I think Fred is raptured up.
Not a problem. I don't mind waiting for Fred.
Sure.
This is just discussion on the city water sewer bills payment plan, and we're missing another council member, aren't we?
The alien abduction.
I'm sorry.
You had to bring it up.
That was supposed to be next summer.
He got his green card.
Alien abduction.
There we go. Okay, let's bring it back together, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about an item brought by the committee on Wednesday related to a bill payment plan for people whose bills might be a little bit high. By introduction, we're going to talk about how the city is making efforts to improve its service. First thing we want to talk about is better communication. All that to say is we'd like to always excel in our ability to communicate with the citizens on things that are important to them. Next one, hit the slide. There you go. The bottom one talks about cleaner and clearer utility bills. Most of you get water bills that talk about units, CCFs, which is 100 cubic feet of water. How many of you know what 100 cubic feet of water? Anyone want to just take a guess?
700.
Way to go. That's excellent. 748 gallons. We're going to make sure that 748 is on your bill so you have an idea of actually how many gallons you are using. So better communication is what we're striving for. We will be revisiting our entire water bill structure, water and sewer, after we've gone through a whole cycle of what we've done recently. We will also have the estimates on the wastewater treatment plant and the water treatment plant and the wellhead and things like that. And that will take place in the spring, and I promise and council promises that we will well advertise that meeting. It will probably be an entire council meeting dealing with water and sewer rates well before the next sprinkling season. The next thing is that we're going to help customers find leaks. Clearly the number one problem are toilets. It just is. It's statistically true. You can get on the internet. If you have a running toilet, you're losing 200 gallons a day. You can do the math. 1.5 cents per gallon for city water and sewer. And so the city has ordered 1,000 toilet dye packets. They'll be available free at the city hall before the end of the week. 1,000 of them, you take them home, put them in your tank, and you can tell whether or not you have a leak. We realize that's not everybody's problem, but that is a problem for a lot of people. We're also going to talk about some budgeting options that the city has. We have something that's maybe not known to everybody, but it's called bill averaging or budget averaging, where you can have the city average your bill over the 12 months so you're paying the same amount every month. I used to do that for power. It's available for the city. We also have what we call a rate assistance program. We did a lot of advertising with that, Mr. Sweeney on the website. We have 170 new sign-ups for our rate assistance program. That simply means if your household is at the 150% of the poverty level changes on your household side, but if you're at 150% of that, you qualify for a rate assistance program, which takes 25% off the entire bill. We're happy that 170 new people have signed up for it. We're also working for less and less shutoffs. We've changed our billing. We've changed how we announce things on Facebook, and we are having fewer shutoffs. Shutoffs occur by ordinance, not because we're mean or because staff likes to do that, but the law says we have to do that. We have a policy that's gone on for a long time that we will not shut off a bill if the balance on the bill is $100. So if a person comes in and says, I can't pay my $150 bill, if they can get it down to $100, and there's a lot of extensions before these things kick in, we will not shut them off. We're going to extend that administratively over the next two billing cycles to $200 until February of 2019. We want to do what we can legally do. We can't do a lot of legally do a lot of things, but that's one of the things that we can do. So having said that, we've had some efforts this summer at conservation, and I want to take about a minute or two and have Mr. Rentz talk about the success or not of those conservation measures. And while you're getting ready for that, I want to ask a question. How many people's waters did we shut off for violations of sprinkling this year?
Zero.
Zero. How many people were fined?
Zero.
And how many warnings?
Zero.
Oh, I thought there was one.
But we attempted to do
one. Tried, okay.
We attempted to do one, but either fortunately or unfortunately, the person that was watering in the middle of the day had an irrigation well and were outside of the city limits. We did, however, get the opportunity to follow up with that individual because they did not have a double check assembly as required by our code, and so fortunately we were able to identify that.
It wasn't a wasted trip.
It was not a wasted
Very trip. Good. So no shutoffs, no fines, no warnings, and what was the result of these efforts that the city took?
The efforts for the water conservation paid off in a pretty big benefit. We had the driest summer on record for Western Washington. In August, the water utilization following the mandatory watering restrictions was at its lowest level since 2013. So while the city's population has grown considerably over that time period, our water usage was less in August of 2018 than it was in 2013.
So to be clear, this is not per capita number. This is solid full numbers.
Full production was
less water this August than in 2013.
Correct. Shortly following the rollout of the mandatory watering restrictions, we were able to fill the reservoirs and also to decrease the production coming out of our wells, and the aquifer has rebounded as we had expected, and so we have higher level within the aquifer. We're able to pump our wells at a higher rate today than we were at the point that we put the watering restrictions in, and the citizens have responded by reducing their watering, like I said, to the lowest rate since 2013. So it's been, you know, success thanks to the council for the courage to implement the restrictions and to the citizens who have done a fantastic job in following the watering schedule as presented.
We have with us, and he's going to probably be bothered that I'm going to invite him up, is we have our utility superintendent with us, Mr. Olinger. Do you mind coming up for a moment for a couple of questions? He did not know. It was Mr. Olinger that called me. He runs the water and sewer plant to say that we need to do something a little bit more aggressive on conservation, and he suggested that we enact a mandatory water. We've always had the watering schedules. He felt it should be mandatory. As you all know, we were going to wait to the next council meeting. He felt it should be a little bit sooner. And this really had to do with public safety and fire protection.
Correct.
Do you sleep better now? That's really what I wanted to ask you, Mike.
Yeah, right after, about a week after we enacted it. It was.
And what was going on in the reservoirs?
Just like Kevin said, we weren't able to fill our reservoirs in the evenings. Generally, we always catch up in the evenings, but there was a few days that we weren't able to do that.
Yeah.
So that was time to make a change.
At the point that we made the decision to come forward to council, you know, it was apparent that the levels within the reservoirs were dropping and continuing to drop. So that, as Mike said, we weren't recovering in the evenings, and we were seeing those go down. We had reached the full pumping potential of the well system that we currently have. So, you know, I think that it's been successful, and it achieved the benefit that we were looking to get out.
And yeah, we had a pumping rate that we weren't reducing the aquifers dropping off. I had a steady state that we were able to hold, and I wasn't willing to go below that. It's, if you start doing that, then you're not sure where you're going to be the following.
And as everybody knows, weeks. In the background of all this, we had a state on fire. We had smoke everywhere. We had D.C. on fire. And so I want to thank you for your leadership and your responsibility in leading Thanks. Us in that measure.
So since everyone is leaving, are we going to talk about the plan, or are we just going to mm-hmm. talk about how great y'all are? I mean, because we already we do need people. We're gonna be here to try and talk about the payment plan. But now they're
we'll get there sooner if you let us continue. How does that sound?
Go for it.
Thank you, council member. Thank you, Mr. Olinger.
Thanks.
Okay, Mr. Young. Next is the idea of having a payment plan. You've investigated that and responded to council committee, and particularly Councilmember Watson is concerned about this.
Yeah, the mayor talked about it briefly, as he mentioned. Right now, we bill every 2 months. We did for about a 6 month period a few years back, go to monthly billing. Our hope was that we would reduce the number of shutoffs. it did not have that effect, and in fact it doubled the labor of our public works guys because they had to go out every month, read the meters, every month shut it off, every month turn them back on. So what we found was a doubling of our labor without much of a positive impact on the number of shutoffs. With that said, shutoffs are always an issue because, you know, some people do have some issues with paying the bills. And as was mentioned before, we do have that payment assistance program that if you qualify for the low property taxes with the county, you automatically qualify for us as well. So if you know anyone out there that gets the senior citizen low income property tax exemptions, have them come down to City Hall, and it's almost an automatic. We also have a situation where they can go on an even payment plan where it's just the same amount every year. We look back on your bill and then figure out what your bill would be if we smoothed it out. So arguably you would pay a little bit more in the summer and perhaps a little more in the winter when you use less water when it's raining, and then maybe a little more at other times. The only downside to that, if it is a downside, is it does require that you go on the automatic payment system whereby you would be paying by a credit card. So it would be automatic. And some people sign up for this anyway just so they could have their payments automatically come out of their account. Many of us have that for other loans and things like that. And then lastly would be the, as you mentioned, we billed at the end of August, and that was the large bill. We're going to bill again at the end of October because we bill every 2 months. And so what we were going to be doing is that for the next two billing cycles, so for the next 4 months, unless someone has a bill over $200, we're not going to shut them off. We're going to work with these folks to see if we can get them on either low-income payments or an even payment throughout the year, and just try to figure out how we can help these folks kind of stretch out their ability to pay. There is a bit of a concern, however, because if we, and we're, what we're talking about doing is raising the shutoff to $200. People are still going to need to keep their payments under the $200. We did receive some information from some landowners, they own rental units, and though you may be aware that if you have a renter that moves out without paying their water bill or sewer bill, we can't go after them because they're now someplace else. The bill stays with the property. So if you have a rental property and someone moves out and leaves a water sewer bill, the landlord has to pay that water sewer bill before we will turn the water back on to the new tenant. So there is a concern that instead of landlords having the ability every 2 months to have bills come out, if we do extend the payment to 4 months or 6 months, the bills that a renter could rack up would be rather large. So we do want to have folks keep their current bills current, but we will allow them to pay the amount over the next 4 months. So it will give some people a little bit of more room to be able to budget and come down and pay it off. And we're not going to be shutting people off if they do keep the balance to a reasonable amount.
Councilmember Watson.
So I'm still trying to understand. We have people with $1,000 bills. They need to get it down to $200. I mean, if you have a $500 bill, you still need to get it down to $200 or it'll get shut off?
Yes.
Because we've talked about doing an actual payment plan where, because your bill was so high for this particular period, that you'd be able to pay it off over a course of months. We'd have to
right.
charge them an interest rate.
Yeah, and that's the key, exactly. We would be able to do that. We would need to offer it to every person in the city. We can't just say that if you have trouble, because we can't pick and choose who is available for a payment plan and who isn't. That's considered the lending of credit. But if you open it up to anyone in the city that has a bill regardless of the amount, then that could be allowable. However, we do have to charge interest. And right now, the monies that we have on hand that we invest with the state are right around 2% annual interest rate. So that's the rate we would need to charge them. So it can be done. It is going to have to be rather a shotgun approach, and that is opening it up to any utility customer in the city. They will be incurring some interest, and so I'm just not sure how many folks, how much help it's going to be, but it is something that we could indeed do.
Because I did talk to the MRSC, and we can do it. We just need to charge the interest. And
exactly.
She could give us an ordinance that other cities use that we could.
Exactly.
Because it's not just now. I mean, we had a woman whose child was going through chemotherapy, her baby, and she had a $700 bill. And basically the city said if you didn't pay it, they were going to shut off her water. And she moved because she had a baby with cancer, and we said there's nothing we can do to help you. And that's just the way it was. Sorry, I know your kid's got cancer, but you're just out of luck. Give us the money. And that's just the way it was because, you know, our rules are set up. But in that case, she could have said, I want to enter the payment plan.
Yeah. Yeah, in that case where there's life-sustaining equipment that requires water or, for that matter, power.
It wasn't that. It was just she just had a
really... Oh, okay.
Really,
because I was going to say, the state law, and actually it's case law, says that you cannot, like, the power company can't turn off your home if someone in there has a breathing machine that literally keeps them alive. We can't turn off water if there's some device in there that requires water to, again, for life safety. So there are exceptions even to the rule that you know, everyone needs to be treated evenly because not everyone's situation is the same.
I mean, I'm hoping council... I'm sorry, Teresa, go ahead.
Oh, I was
Councilor
just going
to...
I'm happy to hear about the payment plan situation. But I am concerned after reading several letters from community and even some of the comments that were made tonight, when the bills are so outrageous that people can't afford paying them, I think we need to revisit at least the sewer rates. And so I would like to add that to our next council committee meeting.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Specifically the summer discount aspect of sewer rates?
All of it.
Okay. That's a bigger conversation, as I think you can well imagine, because now what that will require, and there's no problem doing this, is that we probably need to talk about the wastewater treatment plant and the entire package. In that, I'm glad you brought that up. We did receive some potentially good news on a kind of a dour topic from the Department of Ecology and the Department of Health. Given our current water and sewer usage and our ability to run our plant the way we are, they have told us that we could probably delay the construction or the reconstruction of our sewer plant for probably a year. And I bring this up because what that means is that we could probably, it gains us another year to ladder in some rates over at least a one more year period. But there is a caveat to that insofar as we don't want to pay more for the sewer plant than we need to. And we are at the – we have to bid the project, and so we have to award it to the lowest responsible bidder. There are, as you might expect, a limited number of construction firms out there that are qualified to rebuild sewer plants while keeping them in operation. We did have an issue this summer when we were actually renovating or working on one of our lagoons where the liner was actually damaged, and so we had to pump around it. And because we're able to pump around it and not use that one lagoon, DOE and the Department of Health has given us the dispensation to extend the life of our existing plant. But because there are so few qualified bidders out there for a wastewater treatment plant, we need to get on their dance card rather early. So we had hoped to bid this project this December, this January, in order to start it in the spring and then have the two-year construction period. If we want to push it out a year, which again would give us a little more room for rate increases over a longer period of time, we probably now need to try to hit that December of 19, January of 2020. So we still will have a rather fixed target date to get a good bidding environment. We'll also have the plans completed. I would hate for the plans to sit on the shelf for a number of years and get stale, have regulations change, and really try to dust them off. So I think that the one-year delay will probably give us a little more breathing room, but also allow us to potentially have a very good project because of the bidding environment, hopefully, that we could enter into in December of 19 and January of 2020. So going back to your point, having the discussion about the structure of our water and especially our sewer rates. The Public Works Director, myself, and our Finance Director, we have been looking at alternative scenarios for sewer. One of them was brought up tonight, flat rate for residential sewer. I don't think it's appropriate to have manufacturing and industrial be on a flat rate. But residential, that is an option. Other communities do it. It brings with it advantages and disadvantages. There will be people whose bill will go up because they don't consume much. There's people whose sewer bill will go down because they do have either a large family or their lifestyle is such that they use a significant amount of water and sewer. So there's no method out there that is absolutely equitable for everyone. But I think flat sewer is something that we are going to look at, and it's one of the options we'll bring back to you.
Yeah. Thank you. So we've gotten off a little bit, and we will have that conversation, and he's correct philosophically how you do that. But the topic tonight is some kind of payment schedule for people. And it probably doesn't do much good if we don't do it tonight. I know that our finance director had some comments on it. She isn't here. I'm going to do the best I can to convey. I think we wrote him down somewhere. There was a concern that we actually might be helping people to get into a deeper hole. The city would be charging the lowest interest out there by law, 2% per year. So if a family's in trouble, they're going to not pay that bill, probably the lowest interest bill, and we might be enabling people to get in trouble. There are also ways that people can get help. There are organizations that like to help people and help them in a broader sense of with budgeting and things like that. So this is something, Councilmember Watson is correct, city can do this. It takes a lot of work to get it set up. We're just concerned that we might be enabling deeper problems in our citizens. So it's really up to the council what you want to do.
Yes, because under this scenario, one possibility is we would literally not shut off water regardless of the balance. And they would have so many months to get themselves current. Hence the fear that the bill they can't pay today will become the bill they can't pay in 2 months and 4 months, but there's no way of knowing how many people we're talking about. One point that might be good from a context standpoint, we've done some analysis of how much our average sewer bill is and water bill as a result. We all know the bell curve of standard distributions. We don't have that. We have a spike. Something like 90% of our customers use 10 units or less. You can see right there. This is the distribution of the citizens of Ferndale. So when you take
August,
this is in August. So and the other one actually broke it down on a percentage basis.
Yeah. The numbers on the previous slide were from a 2017 and looking at the entire year and looking at the distribution of customers across the spectrum for each one of the billing periods, so you can get a sense of we do have higher utilization during the summer, but on average those customers are very, very low number that use over the 25
years. And this is not in any way intended to minimize the effect of a large water sewer bill on a family. It's just that for the vast majority of our customers, they don't have the $900, the $1,300 bills. But there are some out there that do, and we deeply appreciate that.
Can you should be able to tell by the software, though, how many people have a bill over $500. So how many people had a bill over $500?
Yeah,
we could do that.
Probably could.
But it's
one of the things that's...
It's not a lot.
Yeah. No, one of the things that we have that's a kind of limitation of our billing system and the way that customers have been included into our billing system is that this graphic here represents residential consumption and the distribution of consumption within that residential component of our billing. However, it also has multifamily mixed in with it. So in there... there are multifamily developments, so that the larger users within that residential component, it's harder to flush out which ones are just single-family residents and which ones are multifamily. I did have Kyla upstairs go through, and I took this same block of information and had Kyla upstairs go through and identify users that were over 30 units of water in the system, both for the June billing period and the August billing period. In the June billing period, we had around 100 people that were over 30 units of water that were single-family residents that were included in this subset of the bills that went out. In the August billing period, that was up to around 350 people that were over the 30 unit. So there are people within the system that are higher users.
And we have about 6,000?
6,000.
About 6,000 accounts.
6,000 accounts.
And
so,
again, there are people that whose bills are high. We heard a number, I forget what it was, $1,200, $1,300. In that case, the person used 48,000 gallons of water. That's an awful lot of water.
And that citizen, that unnamed citizen, because I met with that citizen, it has a home with three generations, eight people living there, a new house, a pond, water yard. So there's a lot of usage there. Still doesn't make it less painful, but usually there's a reason. I'll cancel my role. Sorry about that.
That's twice. Maybe you don't like me tonight.
I love you, dude. Okay. I really do.
I like you anytime.
Great. I like your idea of a no shutoff. I think the payment and interest, and that would be monumental to try and set up right away because we have something to deal with tonight, right? So what if we were to do a six billing periods, you have time to catch up. No later than that, you can make your
six billing periods would be a year.
I know that.
Oh, okay, okay. I didn't know. I didn't know.
He can actually do math in public.
Yeah.
That would. I mean, because I'm looking at six billing periods. That's for some of the. And some people have no. Well, they want to use it. One of the people you were just talking about. I talked to her also. 119 units. What are you thinking? I mean, mine went up. I'm sure as hell not normal up here, I guess. Mine was 29 units, but I can account for why that happened. So
yeah.
I knew it was coming. I dealt with it. But, and I'm open to less.
Right.
But I would think six would give you enough time for people with these really high bills to get caught up and get even before we come up with what
right.
we're going to
so
do.
So I'm assuming, and if I'm wrong, let me know. I'm assuming you're saying that anyone who, based on the August billing amount, would be shut off, won't be for six billing periods, and they have that long to get their account current?
That's what I'm suggesting. I don't know how many are way up there. Because I'm basing it on the way up theres. If the way up theres are the 119, you don't use that much and not know it. Is that if
yeah.
it's maybe it should be three billing periods if the majority of the people are in the $500 to $600 bill ranges? I don't know.
One of the concerns I would have is I believe that all those if somebody's tempted, I'm just not going to pay my bill for a year because I'm going to move. I'm a renter.
Yeah.
Those costs by law all go to the landlord.
And the reason why I clarified that anyone who in their August billing would be that I would hate for the word to get out that, guess what, Ferndale's never free water. No one's ever near. You're never going to get your water shut off, which I was not your intention.
Trying to screw us over. We're the ones that screwed them.
One at a time, guys.
I was just going on your suggestion. Now you're shooting down your own suggestion.
No, I'm just clarifying my own suggestion.
Okay, so now that you've clarified it, what do you counter the idea with?
I guess if our intent is that those that have excessive, and we'll need to define that, those that have excessive water bills based on their balance as of today or as a result of the August 31st billing that went out.
I like the excessive.
Yeah.
Can we
and that was the thing. I mean, you could, and of course this is hard on the fly, you could have, if it's, I'll make up numbers, 200%, 300%, 500% of your normal bill, or over $500, over $300, over $1,000. There's some way to say that we'll be catching those people that are at the tail end of what might be considered the average consumer in Ferndale, that first of all, they have a very high bill, and then as a personal choice, they have trouble, or they believe they have trouble paying the bill. We're not going to, you know, audit them to see if they have the ability to pay or not, that we would have some sort of dispensation for those outliers, if you will, outliers from an amount of bill and outliers from an ability to pay. And I think that what that was kind of my intention, but I really probably did a poor job defining what I was thinking.
Well, that's fine. I'm just, we're all throwing out ideas. Yeah. I'm trying to think of something, maybe make it down to 3 pay periods, but yeah. I also hear what you're saying about the landlords. Do we know, if I'm renting, do I know my bill, if it's a landlord's bill or not?
I went out and checked it. Yeah. There are most newer apartments, individual meters. Older apartments tend to be one big catch-all.
The tenant gets the bill.
In newer apartments, the tenants each get a bill.
But we would know that they have a landlord based on their address, correct?
Yeah, I mean, we could do this. We could have this as owner-occupied. I mean, that could be a subset. But I don't know if that's a...
I don't know that that's a piece of information that we capture in our buildings.
No, okay.
Who's renting?
Yeah.
You can't assume someone who rents won't pay their bill.
Yeah. I did. Okay, I did. In a
true.
Councilmember Kennedy?
Yeah, thank you. So I'm just trying to put a few things together, and Keith, you've got some good ideas. Thank you. So I don't think there's anybody in the room that wants to shut off anybody's water. So I just want to put this on the table that... If, I mean, number one, we're talking about a very small percentage, the outliers. So we're trying to come up with a plan that's going to help 1 or 2% of the users, roughly. But we don't want them to go without water. So if that 1 to 2% were to, I'll use the word default, if they are in arrears on their billing, I'm hearing we don't wish to shut them off. So my suggestion would be at that point, they get automatically enrolled into the, the budget averaging program until they can recover. And we could determine X number of months, if it's 3 billing cycles, 6 billing cycles, whatever, it would make the city whole for the most part and would not put an undue burden with a big spike in the summertime, but we would, and we would not have to shut off the water. And basically use a system that we already have in place, which is, if I'm using the right term, budget average. Yep.
Budget average.
Budget average.
Budget averaging.
So if somebody does get in trouble, they're not writing a big check, but they would have to subsequently agree to the same amount for 6 billing periods.
I like that. Yeah. I think that would probably work. But I just tonight I want to make sure
that's what I was gonna
that we're clear that if somebody goes into arrears, we're not cutting them off at all.
Not for this bill, because this is such a surprise to so many people.
Because it's difficult for us, and we always talk about that, trying to craft something on the fly, I think we have, at least I do, have a fairly good idea of the direction you're going. What I'd like to do is 2 things. One is... come back at the next committee meeting with an outline of the program, because you'll have to adopt it through ordinance.
Okay.
And in the meantime, nobody gets shut off.
Okay.
So it's kind of a stasis, if you will, until our next committee meeting, and then we'll define what that subset of subset is and what perhaps a reasonable payment system could be.
I could live with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Fred. That was good.
By general consent, without a vote, we will not shut anybody off between now and the next council meeting when we had a chance to come up with an ordinance. Okay? Any more input on that? Very good.
I just wanted to point out the slide that I put up just together. As I was looking at...
The duck is a nice
I like that graphic. but the graphic does represent a 5-foot by 5-foot by 4-foot cube of water, which would be 100 cubic foot, which would be the one unit increment within our billing system of 748 gallons. And then just some examples from customers around town, just to give you some context of what water use is throughout the system, from, you know, the Ferndale Library at 18 units there to Hempler's at 1,500. I mean, we do have a big, you know, range of customers within the system. We can see I threw up a couple of restaurants on there that stood out as I was looking through it. So, you know, a couple of successful restaurants on Main Street in downtown using 41 and 61 units of water. So when we look at some of that utilization within the system where we have customers that are up over 100 units, it really is a significant amount of water.
Council, we have hit the 9 o'clock hour, and by ordinance, our meeting is over unless there's a motion to extend it. It would be my opinion that we can get through the next two items in about 20 minutes if there is a motion to extend for 20, or we can shut her down and come back next week. I'm looking for direction from council.
Motion to extend for 20.
Second.
Then moved by Councilmember Kennedy. Seconded by Councilmember Taylor to extend by 20 minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. So 20 minutes. I think we've got the bill payment plan. We will bring something back to committee and to council. In the meantime, the news is nobody will be shut off in the next couple week and a half. We have a couple contracts for some upgrades. I think these two kind of go together, but we'll start with one. Water treatment plant upgrade.
Oh, I forget which way.
Water treatment plant.
Okay, so we have two contracts, as the mayor indicated, the first one being the water treatment plant upgrades. As we know, we have drilled a deep well. The water chemistry of that deep well does vary from the current chemistry of our shallow aquifer that we're withdrawing from, so that we're looking at doing some modifications to the treatment plant to incorporate the water into our system and be able to put that deep well water into the distribution system. The contract before you is for the design of the system, which will include, in addition to the building, additional RO units and then selective remineralization of the water. So our intent is that we would be blending the water from the deep aquifer and the shallow aquifer, sending that water down to the water treatment plant, and then running 100% of the water through the reverse osmosis units that we're currently using, as well as adding additional reverse osmosis capacity to be able to provide the full supply capacity for the city's current withdrawal, with some additional buffer built into that, and then to add in the mineralization capacity so that we can mineralize the water and get it back out into the system so that we can address any kind of corrosivity issues that would be brought up by 100% reverse osmosis water being put into the distribution system. The plan also calls for the work to do the approval process, doing the analysis of the treatment, a pilot study for that, and then getting through the approval process with the Department of Health to be able to certify our treatment process and then get get the upgrades completed to the plant.
This does not require a public hearing. We're looking for questions and comments from council. Councilmember Lawson and Councilmember Olson.
So in the Public Works Committee, we asked you to bring us some of the budget numbers.
Did correct.
You have them? Because this wasn't in the budget.
I did. So, and I'm sorry, I'm gonna pull some numbers in for the next item as well so that we can talk about it kind of cohesively. So the wastewater treatment plant upgrade, the design contract was for $296,000, and we're requesting that we add a 10% contingency to that. And then the shop wall number two work that we're looking at doing was $120,000 for design, again with a 10% contingency on top of that, looking at about $416,000 plus 10%, so around $500,000. Within our 2018 budget for the water system, we had included $750,000 for the shop well number two, for the well house and work associated with that, getting that capital project going, and additionally another $500,000 for a second Douglas well. So looking at about $1.2 million that we had budgetary authority working with both a well at the Douglas and a well at the shop location. The shop well, we have expended some funds from that. We've spent about $105,000 from that, resulting in $645,000 left out of the budgetary authority that was included in the 2018 budget. and we have spent zero out of the $500,000 for the Douglas Well Number 2. So both of those projects, looking at increasing the capacity of supply and then getting that water into the distribution system. So looking at about $500,000 with about $1.15 million left of budgetary authority in this year's budget.
Councilmember Olson.
A question was more for Mike when you're given the specs here. Mike, when the wells got that low, were they? Did that increase the hardness of the water?
Mike, I'm sorry, you got to come up so we get an update. Anything you say can well be used.
I heard a lot of complaints about.
Yeah, traditionally, when the aquifer does drop down a bit, the hardness does go up.
Okay.
And so like I was saying in committee, one of the caveats of this, we'll be able to treat the water from a hardness of about 60 to 100, but we're going to try to set it right at about 80, and that'll be, you know, every day.
Is that
we get up to about 101 or 110 at times in the August months.
Because the wells got so depleted?
Yeah, years past when the aquifer was stronger, I could run through two RO units at the same time and blend the water down to a lower hardness, but we don't have the capacity to do that currently with the aquifer.
So is that close to what we had when we were out of the well, out of the river, I mean?
We were in the 60 range.
Oh.
60 to 70
so
generally.
A little bit over, but close.
Yeah. But we could get back there with this project.
To the 60?
Yep.
Oh, excellent.
Well, between 60 and 100, but we're going to shoot for 80. We'll see how it works out.
Okay. Thank you.
And Superintendent Olinger reminded me that we don't try to sell distilled water. You always have to have minerals in there. So it's not good for anybody.
If we were to run 100% through the reverse osmosis system and without adding the minerals back into it or try to put that pure reverse osmosis water through the system, it would be corrosive in nature to the pipes and other fixtures within your house. And so it can lead to issues if we don't bring the hardness level up. It provides buffering capacity within the water.
More questions from council tonight? Councilmember Kennedy.
Just real quickly, and I'm going to follow your lead, Kevin, on combining both of these, and also Kathy. So thank you for putting the budget numbers out there, roughly around $1.15 million that on spend authority for the design, not the construction, but the design, bidding, and getting hard costs for both of these projects, right?
For the we do have currently within the budget we had earmarked for both the Shopwell and the Douglas Well Number 2, yeah, that money that and we still do have a remainder of that's left unspent.
Right, thank you. So that both of those, if we were to move forward with them, that will give us hard costs on both projects, hard construction costs that we can use as a baseline to further our water and sewer discussion on the rate schedule to help everybody in Ferndale.
Yes.
All right, thank you.
And that the intent with both of these contracts is to get the design work completed in that kind of January time frame.
So these are two separate items. Is there, if there's approval on council, you should probably be two motions. Councilmember Watson?
I guess I know I had sent an email to Greg. I would rather we not vote on these right now. I got an email from a resident, and I sent it all on to you as well, basically a report by RH2 for the Department of Ecology, and I guess I was surprised by that. It said that, you know, the city of Ferndale has found water at 1,000 foot deep, but it's also going to need two additional 1,000 foot wells.
And I would say that the RH2 report, and I read the entry that was identified as the project, that project 25 that was in as the Ferndale Deep Well project. And one thing that I'd point out is that the intent with going forward with the Deep Well project right now is that we're going to set the treatment plan up so that we're able to treat what our water needs are for the city. And additionally, we're going to bring the Shopwell online. Our intent is to run that Shopwell at around 300 to 350 gallon per minute and introduce that into the system and then pump that. I'm not looking to get 1,000 GPM out of the Shopwell and then to add two additional wells to it, because right now the city does not have a need for 3,000 GPM. We have water rights that are a little bit less than that. currently for our entire portfolio of water rights, and I'll get the number wrong, but it's around 2,900 GPM for an instantaneous withdrawal from the upper aquifer. We did a water right application for 3,000 GPM for an instantaneous withdrawal from the lower aquifer, and we just had a meeting with the Department of Ecology on Friday about talking about getting into the cost reimbursement program to vet that water right application. But we're not looking to do that much of an instantaneous withdrawal. Right now, our peak summertime instantaneous withdrawal is about 1,500 GPM, so we don't actually have the need today for 3,000 GPM of instantaneous withdrawal.
I'm trying to understand. This also says that our use of the regional aquifer has likely reduced the discharge of water from the aquifer into the lower Nooksack, the Lummi Red River, and the tidal sloughs and ditches.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's part of the reason why our aquifer is not recharging. And I know you're very proud that people cut down on their water use, mm-hmm. but the fact is our aquifer is not recharging each year. Every year the aquifer keeps going down.
We do see that there has been reductions in the aquifer, and we believe that that was a trend that was in place prior to the city turning its wells back on.
But every now, year you can yeah, see it.
And I can appreciate that. And I know that, you know, we had provided council with a large packet of information dealing with the work that we've done with our hydrogeologic consultants looking at the wells and looking at the aquifer and what we believe is happening within that aquifer.
For the record, I had to ask for the data.
And we provided as much data as you know. I think that we provided just about everything that we have looking at the aquifer.
I feel like we're not having the right discussion, though. We have the shallow aquifer that keeps going down, and now this is for the Department of Ecology. RH2 did this for the Department of Ecology, saying that we are basically causing problems with the Nooksack.
I think what they're saying in the RH2 report is that the aquifer that we're currently withdrawing from is in hydraulic connectivity with the Nooksack River. Yes. And that's there's no dispute about that. There's the city believes that the aquifer is in hydraulic connectivity with the Nooksack River, and that is a fact. I don't want to hide that or try to, you know, deny that. That's
I don't think we're hiding that. I think what we're not discussing is, can we keep using the shallow aquifer?
Well, our intent, the intent of trying to come forward with these two contracts and come forward with the work that we're doing is that we want to bring the deeper aquifer online so that we can reduce the withdrawal from the upper aquifer and give it a chance to rebound so that we're taking the pressure off of the upper aquifer.
Now, I guess I add here, too, that we are by far not the only user of the shallow aquifer. It's generally believed that, for the most part, all of the irrigation, all of the agricultural irrigation that occurs in Whatcom County is out of the shallow aquifer. There's also multiple water associations that are in the shallow aquifer. It's actually called the regional aquifer, not only because it's widespread, but the entire western part of Whatcom County is pretty much in that aquifer. And so what we see is every year, this time of year, we don't reduce the amount we're pulling out of the aquifer, but the irrigators and others stop, and every year we see the aquifer bounce back up. Again, what we hope to do is to lessen our take from the shallow aquifer, supplement it with a lower aquifer, and make both of them sustainable over time. The shallow aquifer, it is believed, is in continuity with the Nooksack. However, if you look at the RH2 report, many of the projects listed in there are projects that literally take people out of surface water, the river, and into groundwater. Because while there's connectivity between the regional shallow aquifer and the Nooksack, if you pull your water directly out of the Nooksack, there's no doubt that 100% of what you're taking is coming out of the river. For the shallow aquifer, some of it eventually worked its way over to and supplements the Nooksack. So again, we saw this trend over time. We looked for an alternative. We found what we believe, and Department of Ecology believes, is an alternative. This is the next step to see how robust that is. We know that no one else is in the deep aquifer that we're now in. So we have no other competing uses down there. We have done multiple pump tests under the auspices of the Department of Ecology following their regimen to help them decide if we had drilled into a little puddle or we drilled into a body of water that could very well be sustainable. Their conclusion is that it could very well be a sustainable source for us. That's why they're spending time perfecting our new water right application. So in a lot of ways, the deep aquifer will give us the water we need for generations, hopefully, but one thing that cannot be doubted is that if we are able to use the deep aquifer, we'll take a significant pressure off of the upper aquifer, extend its life, and allow more water that would normally be coming out of the wells to actually work its way to the river.
This is likely something that allows us not to have all our eggs in one basket.
Councilmember Olson. What scares me about what I read, though, is they're saying we're going to have to do three of those people. Well, so are
actually,
we?
Greg wrote that.
Apparently. Well, that's it. What's in that report I wrote?
Oh, okay.
And to give you a little context, we've heard of the Hearst decision where the exempt wells doesn't count. That's not Ferndale. It's out in the county. So the little wells that are in each individual's home, they're considered exempt because of the relatively individual low quantity that each well produces. However, the court said when you add them all together, it actually adds up to something. So the Hearst fix was that every county had to say, what is what's called consumptive use? In the next 20 years, if you continue to if the county continues to permit these individual wells for individual homes, how much water will be coming out of the ground? That number has been done for this WIRA, this water resource area. We know it. We've agreed to what that number is. The Hearst fix was, once you figure out over the next 20 years how much granting future wells will be, you now need to come up with projects that will offset it, that will make it neutral. And the state has put together $700 million over 10 years or something like that to fund projects on a WIRA by WIRA basis to pay for those projects that will offset the consumptive use. For this WIRA, we had to come up with our list of potential projects for funding. I said, aha! We have a new deep aquifer that will take pressure off of the shallow aquifer. Let's put it on the list for potential funding.
So that's where the three.
And so right now our water right is 3,000. If we can pull 1,000 from this well, we would need two more wells to literally replace our existing water right that we have in the shallow aquifer. So there was nothing magic about the three except that 3 times 1,000 is 3,000, which equals our current water right.
So, Councilor Rat, that be which an hour? I need to ask you a question. We can wrap up the meeting if we should, or if you think you're coming to a decision, which I can't really tell from the full council, if you think you're coming to a decision, we'll ask for 10 more minutes.
I don't see the point. I think Greg will just talk for 10 minutes and then everybody will vote yes.
Let me look this way. Is there a sense that you'd like to approve the contract tonight?
I doubt
so. I'm looking for a motion for 10 minutes.
Motion for 10 minutes?
Second. Moved by Councilmember Hanson, by Councilmember Kennedy, seconded by Councilmember Hanson for 10 more minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
Nay.
Okay, Council, looking for some direction if you're prepared.
Councilmember Greg Hanson.
I move to approve Agenda Bill 18-09-009.
Second.
Moved by Councilmember Greg Hanson, seconded by Councilmember Czar to approve Agenda Bill 18-09-00. This is, by the way, water treatment plant, not wastewater treatment plant. This is WATP. Discussion. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay.
No.
All yes, except Councilmember Watson saying no. Second item for a Councilmember motion. That's the outbuilding there.
On the shop well number
that's
two?
That's 1809010.
Yeah,
motion to pass shop well number two, house project as written.
Second.
Moved by Councilmember Kennedy and seconded by Councilmember Greg Hanson to pass Agenda Bill 1809010, the contract on the shop well house. Discussion from council. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay.
No.
So ayes have it, noes being Councilmember Watson.
and Councilmember Olson, is that correct?
Right.
Council, can I suggest that we...
Excuse me, a quick clarification on the first one for the treatment plant, was that 6-1?
6-1.
Thank you.
5-2.
Can we delay the enhancement encampment? So I don't think anyone's banging on a door. I think Mr. Burdett would be fine with that. We will head towards mayor comments, and all I have is our tradition, is our humble hometown hero. I think you will like this one. On this date, Monday, September 17, 2018, Pete Hartzell Jr. is recognized for his years of service to the Ferndale community, whether serving on the board of directors of the Chamber of Commerce, volunteering with the Old Settlers Association, the Kiwanis Club, or our own Parks Board. Pete represents the very best of our little town. We are proud to put his name in the record tonight as a true, humble hometown hero. And when we started listing his accomplishment, the word, the abbreviation, et cetera, came up. So he, to me, the Mr. Et cetera, he is ubiquitous. He is everywhere. Plus, his business has always been a very gracious in his handling of customers in his auto shop. So he truly is a hometown hero. We're happy to put that into the record, and we'll pass that around for your signatures as well. That's all of mayor reports. Council reports.
He was out the other morning cleaning out the holes from the flags with his wife. He
and
just...
And later that day, he was mowing the lawn at the Catholic Church.
Wow.
Isn't that cool? He's just awesome. Councilmember Taylor.
CP's Friday and Saturday, downtown Bellingham.
Oh, that's a great festival. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Staff, community development.
Okay.
Say no.
Nope. October 12th.
City administrator.
So I wouldn't talk.
Chief of police. I would love a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Good hard work, Council. Our first post-9 o'clock meeting in many moves.
Yeah.